Dr. Joey. Oh no, I'm not calling you Dr. Joey. I love you. I'm not calling you. How you been, man? What's going on, Joe?
I'm doing good, bro. Jordan, you can call me whatever you want, bro.
Thanks, dude. I was just telling you, you were like, are you podcasting outside? I don't post. It's been a long time since I posted the video. But yeah, my daughter's nursery is right next to the office, and I just yell when I talk. My wife's like, you just yell. And I'll put like headphones on. It gets worse because I scream. So I am outside. And so for the listener, if the audio isn't, you know, the perfectly pristine, highly edited audio quality that you're used to on the Where Optimal Meets Practical podcast, I apologize. It might be a little, the occasional gust of wind, but I'll do my best. So Joey, man, what's going on? Give me some update. How you been? How's life?
Doing good, man. How's life? How long has it been since we talked? More than 6 months?
Oh, definitely. So not since you've had your second child.
Yeah. So I say baby number two's here, and it's a lot of work, but it's all good. And, you know, focusing on growing the business, that's going well. Life is good, man. Just busy, you know, on the same grind, taking care of the second baby. But things are good. We're working on some home projects, actually building out a home gym, which I'm super excited for. Yeah. I always want to record more gym content, but I never do because, like, I don't know. I don't feel awkward bringing my tripod to the gym. It's just like the work of doing that and filming content in the gym. So I'm excited to be able to do that here at home.
I mean, no brainer. That's why I have the home gym. I probably could shoot even more gym content. But it's super nice for that reason to have like, hey, I just bring my tripod, take my time, you know, set up a shot, whatever it is. Sometimes I find shooting gym content a little bit cumbersome. I came from a period where I was like, I did all the N1 courses and I just went through the mentorships with Cass and all this. And I was like super hyped about making all the gym content and just kind of have taken a step back from, this super specific technique cue that's going to supercharge your this or hyper grow your that. And so obviously you can create gym content that is not that, but I just, I took a step back from that sort of like, you got to have your elbow here sort of content. And, but I could probably pick it back up in a more productive manner, but that's super. Where are you putting the gym?
Dude. Well, I would move my webcam, but like right there, I have a window and it's right outside, which is tough being in Florida, 'cause it's really hot, but we're looking at, we have a massive oak tree that just gives a ton of shade in the entire backyard.
You're putting the gym outside?
Yeah.
Hold on. Back up. You're putting a gym outside. Tell me about that. What about like rain and like weather?
Yeah. So the equipment is pretty weather resistant. Like if you buy stuff that has like powder coated paints, from what I understand, it'll last a good amount of time. Like it'll last at least 5 years. I'm not getting too fancy. It'll be squat rack, barbell, dumbbells. The only machine I'm going to buy is a hack squat machine.
Sweet.
We're going to do some sort of roofing, like not fully closed in, but we found a guy who does these like insulated roofs for outdoor living areas. And apparently under the roof, it's like 10 to 15 degrees cooler than it is under the sun. And being in Florida, like you're in Texas. No, you're in North Carolina. We definitely need that because it's ridiculously hot here. Yep. But honestly, man, I'll probably just take good care of the equipment. It'll get wet and stuff, but you know, if I spend a couple grand and it lasts me 5 to 7 years and then I have to replace some things, it's worth it. It's money you save on a gym membership anyway. So,
yep. Wow, that's exciting. That's going to be super fun. And there's something awesome about training outside. I am in my garage. I was in my garage in Texas and now I'm in my garage in North Carolina, and we just bought a house in New Jersey. We're moving back to New Jersey next month and it's going to be in the basement. Actually, we bought this house not just for this reason, but the house spoke to us because the people who were previously there had a basement gym. And it's almost like it's not a second basement, but it's the way the house is laid out. It's almost like if the basement was not there, you wouldn't notice it in the amount of square footage or anything. Like it just happened to like also have this basement. I was like, wow, that's a perfect
spot. It's where they hit all the bodies.
Right. But I also will miss the sun coming in, and you know, there's some parts of it that can be awesome. I can turn part of it into a studio and that'll be great, but that's super exciting. That's awesome. That's gonna be super fun. I'm looking forward to some training content from you.
Yeah, I don't know what I'll make because I'm not that jacked and people just are like, you're not jacked. So
dude, honestly, you got to lean into that. I lean into that, dude. So I get absolutely torched on the daily about my physique if I post anything like weight training related. Actually, it doesn't even have to be weight training related. It could just be like, don't kill your baby by feeding them honey. And it's like, oh, you look like you eat soy every day or something, you know, like
dude, Two things. One, it's deceptive because obviously we're looking at everybody through a phone and you can't tell somebody's size. And the issue for me is like, I'm really tall, man. So I'm super lanky and it's hard to fill out, right? I'm 6'5". It's like, I actually have a decent amount of muscle, but it just like you see me on camera, it's like it doesn't look that way. And talking about how much soy you eat, the most popular video I've ever made on YouTube, like YouTube Shorts, is a video called "Does Soy Decrease Your Testosterone?" I just go over some science showing that it doesn't. It has like, to give you into perspective, like my stuff on YouTube does not do well. I get maybe 1,000 views, maybe 2,000 views if it's a good video. This video has like a couple hundred thousand views. And it's just because the comments are nonstop, just like, oh, you look like you eat soy. Oh, that's coming from a soy boy. Oh, like it's, you sound feminine. It must be all the soy. Just because people just like roast me nonstop, so the video keeps getting shared. But it's all good.
Let's go back a sec to a second child. My wife and I are just cracking up that like we do everything together and it is two on one all the time. We outnumber the baby all the time. We got to take a bath. And I what everything I'm about to say, I speak very positive. I love all of this, but like we take a bath, it's both of us. We go out somewhere, it's both of us. We sometimes we change a lot. I mean, listen, my wife is the alpha. I'm working for many hours, but you know, I'm a little bit present, obviously, because I'm at home. We change diapers together, you know, we'll like do bedtime together. And I just crack up. We're like immediately when you have a second child, you're like, oh, now we're one on one. Like now we're like now there's gonna be many moments where it's like one on one. Talk to me about that. How's that gone from like I laugh because I'm like, Jen, we're playing checkers right now. You know what I mean? Like we have double the resilience, we have double the bandwidth right now than we might have. So we are very excited. We'd like to have another child, but you know, speak to that a little bit about like just how funny it is from going from one to two.
I was gonna say, do you guys want to have a second one like relatively soon?
Relatively soon, but we're with the move, we're just kind of like taking that pressure off ourselves for now.
Dude, it's a big change, man. It's a big change. It's not, it's like, I would say it feels like way more than double the work. And I think it's a bandwidth thing. Like you kind of just get used to it, but it's stressful, right? Because I think the hardest part about raising kids is not even like the actual physical stuff that you have to do, like changing a diaper or giving them some food or whatever. Like it's not hard objectively. It's psychologically taxing because they're like little devils, right? Especially when they become toddlers, they're just like, don't listen. They cry for no reason. Like they're fine 1 second, then they're losing the next second. And what I realized is when we had one, we would take turns in those situations. Like if my wife was feeling really overwhelmed, she'd be like, Joey, step in. Like I need 30 minutes. I'm gonna go for a walk or something. Like we could do that. Like it's just a lot harder to do right now with the two, right? I don't know, man. I feel like are there specific things that you're thinking about? Because I feel like we figured out pretty well, like, we have the luxury that my wife is a stay-at-home mom. She wants to be a stay-at-home mom. She loves doing that. So she's with the kids all day. When I finish work, I just like have accepted the fact that I have no free time to myself anymore. Like that's just, it's just life. And like, it's fine because I love being a dad and it's cool. But from the moment I finish work till bedtime, we are just hands-on nonstop. Right. So if I get off at 5, some days I get off at 3:30, some days I get off at 5, depending on the day of the week. But like today I get off at 5 and it's I'll prepare some dinner for my son. That'll be around 5:30. We'll eat together, then around 6, my wife will go bathe the new baby and then start putting her down for bed around 6:30. In the meantime, I'm getting my son ready for his bath. And then when we're done there, baby's asleep. We'll chill for our son with our son for an hour, then we put him to sleep. And it's just like there's just no break, man.
What do you do in that hour when everyone's down? Unless if it's not too personal, you know, what are you doing in
We
that
just
like?
watch a little Netflix, dude. We
Okay,
either we'll hang out. Like my wife loves reading, so sometimes she'll just read. Sometimes I'll just chill and like do whatever. Sometimes we'll watch a show together. Sometimes we'll
you're
spend some
crushing
time
Love
together.
Island. Yeah, you're crushing Love Island. I got you. Okay, you're locked in. Okay, I got it.
No, I was crushing some Squid Games, dude. I watched the new season in 2 days, which I never do. I watch no more than like 30 minutes of
There's a
TV each
third
day unless
season?
I really like something. It just came out a couple days ago.
Oh, I gotta get in there. How was it?
Dude, it's fire.
Yeah?
Oh, amazing, man. Season two was a little bit floppy. Season three was really good.
Yeah, it's a little floppy, but I'm still invested. I need to see it. Is that the final season? Cool, 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 cool. Yeah, don't blow it. Cool. Yeah. What time are you like typically like waking up? Like, what's your guys' like morning routine like?
Yeah, so a good day, we wake up at 6:30. A normal day is 6 because my son just wakes up. So I just wake up when my son wakes up.
Yep.
He's usually up right at 6, at the very latest 6:30. And so I know one of the things you want to talk about is like how we balance this whole health and fitness thing. And I want to preface by saying that like completely understand that we have luxuries that a lot of people don't have, which I'm really grateful for. But also on top of that, like we've intentionally tried designing our life this way so we could have these luxuries. But Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, my wife will wake up around like 5 a.m. to go to the gym. So she goes to the gym in the morning around 6. I'll be with the babies till about 7:30, which is when she gets home a little before that, and then I'll start work at 7:30. So in that time, it's make breakfast, change some diapers. Hopefully, my daughter, who's the 7-month-old, doesn't wake up because she'll wake up around 7:30, and then mom gets home, takes care of her. She wakes up a little bit earlier, got some extra tasks to do with her. That's pretty much the morning routine, man. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays, I still wake up around 6, but I just get straight to work. I literally like grab coffee, use the bathroom, sit on the computer. I don't really do anything like morning routine. And then I try to
No
get off by
bath.
3:30.
Yeah, no ice bath.
Yeah. No, ice bath. Bro, it's so funny. Are you a fan of Alex Hormozi? Do you listen to his stuff at all?
I gotta tell you, is
I think
the
we talked about this last time.
not my cup of tea, but most likely in part to my own detriment, but yeah, not my cup of tea. Yeah.
No. So I think there's a lot of good that he says, and there are some things that I totally see why people don't agree. I think one, he's a really smart guy from a business perspective. So I take a lot of the information. I don't take much of like how he applies it of like grind 24/7. But I brought him up because like he really, not that I ever followed much of a morning routine, but like I used to like the idea of being really structured. Like I do this at this time and this at this time in the morning. And because it seemed like a lot of people do that and they have some success with it, at least on social media, right? And I heard a podcast episode, Alex was talking. He's like, dude, the most successful morning routine, if you want to get shit done, is wake up and get shit done. He's like, stop wasting time. He's like, I've literally mentored people who like have this hour and a half long morning routine and they figure out why they can't get shit done. It's like, dude, just get shit done. Be more resilient. You don't need a million things in the morning. I'm like, it's pretty good point, man. So I just literally wake up, grab my coffee, sit on the computer, and that's it.
How much are you training? How frequently? How long? How would you assess your kind of commitment to fitness in this kind of busier time?
Yeah, I would say I'm always 100% commitment, but what that commitment looks like is different. Like at the moment, I'm just training 3 days a week, and I'll train for about an hour and a half. So full body training sessions. I know we talked about this last time. I really like training, and then I also feel really bad if I don't train at least that much, because I know you were talking about like minimalist training. You were doing what, like twice a week for 30, 40 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, I'm on three times a week for with full body sessions. I think 3 times a week. Listen, those are like on the longer end of the spectrum, but I think three times a week for 90 minutes, and 90 minutes is a long time, but even 90 minutes, I think 3 times a week is it feels like a reasonable commitment. I don't think you're like giving off like a wow, I'm doing a ton vibe. I think 3 times a week, 90 minutes is a long session, but I
Yeah.
still think you could phrase it
Well, if I
as
do
3 times
less
a week.
than that, I just feel bad, man. It's like this level of guilt and like, oh, I'm gonna shrink, which I know is not the case. But I come same as you. I used to train 5, 6 days a week, you know?
Yeah, totally, totally.
And love training, love hitting PRs, like it's enjoyable. So like not being able to do it that much, I'm like, ah, kind of sucks. But also, I'm like recovery takes a big hit, man. With the two kids, sleep is tough because it's just like back and forth. You're playing, you're kind of like rolling the dice. This one's gonna wake up tonight, the other one's not. And then on top of that, like I need to learn how to manage stress better with work specifically, with trying to grow the business. It's like I'm always stressing about little shit. Actually, I was at the gym this morning, and the owner at the gym, because I go to a small local gym, is like he's a friend of mine. And I was like resting between sets, and I'm kind of like spacing off, and he comes up to me, he's like, dude, you're not here today. Like, what are you thinking about? I'm like, dude, I can't get my mind off of work. And he's like, I could tell, like you're just not here today. And I've find myself like falling into that more and more recently. And it's hard because I'm aware of it, and I'm like, I don't want to feel that way. But it's hard to manage when you have a million things going on. So anyways, that's all to say that I think sometimes stress impacts my ability to recover well and just like be fully present in the gym. So 3 days right now is what I feel like I could really handle.
What's something in your business work life that you feel is keeps, air quote, keeps you up at night?
Man, it's just all like one, it's as the business grows, we have higher expenses, right? Like I have a lot of people, not a lot of people, but we have a team now, and like their livelihood falls on my shoulders, which is stressful, right? We have a team of like six people. It's like, fuck, I pay these people and like their lives depend on me having some level of success. And so if we start off a month or if we have a bad week, we're a small business. Like one bad week, it is a big impact on our income for the month, you know? So like that stresses me out. And then just like problem solving is stressful. Like, I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to business, right? I know what I'm doing when it comes to fitness because like that's my background. But like right now, we have a call with everybody who's going to be a potential client of ours. I tend to handle all of those. I'm becoming the bottleneck, so I need to get somebody in that position. Now it's like, how do I hire that person? How do I train that person? How do I get the systems for that? That's going to impact other people's performance in the business. And it's like, oh, that's going to negatively impact this person. And then like, it's just a million little things running in my head at once, man. And like, I feel like I handle it pretty well, but sometimes I can find myself getting a little bit too like hyperfixated on it, and then being it's just negatively impacting other things that I do pretty much.
I'm going to use myself as an example of a different approach, but in no way, shape, or form, a critique. My question is like, do you ever feel yourself having thoughts of, shit, man, why don't I just do all this myself? And why don't I not have those burdens and just be a sole entity? Now, I have other. I'll tell you now, that's how I am. Or I'm just me. I have three. I'm hope to have three businesses soon. But I also have thoughts of, you're an idiot for doing this yourself, and you are doing less well because you aren't delegating. And so, do you ever have the opposite of those thoughts of like, man, I wouldn't have to be worried about other people's livelihoods, and I wouldn't have to worry about hiring this person. Like, let me just do it myself, sort of thoughts.
Well, I did it by myself for a long time.
Totally.
I did it by myself for like a good, I don't know, 3.5, 4 years. I don't mind doing it by myself, man. And like, I was thinking about it. It's like a thought that comes into mind all the time. 'Cause I was like, the business is generating substantially more income, but I'm taking home about the same. Like, it's not really that different. And I'm working way more. Like I'm working way more than I used to, because did you know when you have a certain following on social media and a decent reputation and people respect your work, like thankfully we've been doing this for a while. It's not that difficult to have a full client roster if you just want to do it on your own, right? And you can have a decently premiumly priced service, and it's easy to. It's I won't say easy. I need to catch my language sometimes because I feel like sometimes people hear this like, oh, Joey says it's easy, and there might be another coach who's struggling. It's like we've had fortune and hard work to be in the position that we are in today. And thanks to the position that we're in today, it's not that hard to get a full client roster, right? And so I could go that route, but like, Jordan, to be honest, man, what I enjoy most in life, it's a double-edged sword. What drives me most in life is progress. So like when I started delegating and having a team, I took home less for like a good amount of time for like a whole year. And like I just didn't really care, even though I need to make an income to support my family. But it's just 'cause like I see where it could go. So like growth itself is what I really enjoy.
Can I pause you on
I
that? Can I
think
pause you on that actually? How do you feel about that as a thing that fuels you? Because I've been thinking about that quite a bit as my family grows. And I, first of all, I never thought I'd get married. I never thought I'd have kids. So like, which each thing, and then I was like, oh, I never thought I'd have a second kid. And so with each thing, we don't have a second kid yet. We'd like to. With each thing that happens to me by way of my wife entering my life and just changing everything for me in the best way possible, I'm relearning what's important to me. And I've had to just like, I am doing a way that I'm very proud of what I have and what I've built and where how I'm doing. But I'm also obsessed with growth. And then like, I just have questioned how healthy that is for me. And I think that there's part of it that's super healthy because it's part of what's pushed me to grow. And that growth has afforded me things, not just money, but like just things that I've just enjoyment with the industry and what I do on a daily basis. You ask me, do I love what I do? Absolutely. But that growth for growth's sake is something I've been quite introspective about because I think like at what point have I fulfilled the fulfillment side of things? Or like that's redundant, but like how at what point am I filling that cup for myself, and then I'm just pouring more in because I'm scared of the idea of stagnation. So I don't look at it in just a negative point, but do you ever question that, like, how healthy is that for me that I'm obsessed with the growth for growth's sake?
Yeah. Dude, I think you and I are very similar in many ways. And I think a lot of people who, decide to be crazy enough to like, I can do this all on my own and have my own business and be successful. Like you have to have a certain degree of like, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like a certain degree of belief in yourself that like isn't really proven by anything external, right? Because like you have this idea of what can be, and like you really believe it can be, and like you have no proof of that. Anyways, I say that because I think that that type of person, like chasing progress, is kind of just like built into us, man. I at least think that about myself. When I was a kid, I was obsessed with video games, but not all video games, just video games that were skill based, and that if I put in more time, I could get better, right? So like, retrospectively, I think about it now. I'm like, I used to think I was lazy as a kid, and it was like, no, I just didn't like putting an effort in things that like didn't make me better at that thing. So like, I didn't really do well in school because I just didn't really care about history class. I just did not give a fuck about history class, right? And so I would just try to wake up and play my video game where I was like trading stuff and making money. And like thinking
Hold on,
about
what
it
were
now,
you
I was like,
playing? Hold
oh,
on,
I
what were
was a
you
little
playing? What were you
entrepreneur
playing?
as a kid.
What were you playing?
So played a lot of RuneScape as a kid. I
Sweet.
played this game that you have never heard of. It's a MMORPG called Knights Online. It's famous in Turkey, dude. And my cousin put me onto it, and I just like got addicted to it. And
Sounds like a
then I was
Ponzi
super
scheme, but okay.
addicted. I got super addicted to chess. I love playing chess and like the concept of getting better there. In middle school, I would sell Airheads and like just I don't know, like entrepreneurship, like the aspect of like making something out of nothing has always been something that's attractive to me. Do I think about it a lot? Like, is enough enough? Yeah, I think about it a lot, man. Like, objectively, if my business didn't grow anymore and like I made the same income I've been making, like I'd be happy, I'd be fine. That's the thing. Like, I don't, if it didn't grow, like, would I be upset? Yeah, because like I want it to grow, but also I feel like I have a pretty good balance with it, in the sense that like, I don't know. I tend to have the perspective, Jordan, of like things are what they are. I try not to hyperfixate on like, is this good or bad, in the sense of like, it's just who I am, right? And then I think I just take a step back instead of thinking like, hey, is the fact that I am focused on progress, is that good or bad? Do I have enough? Should I be chasing more? When is enough? I tend to not ask myself those questions too much because I think they just lead you nowhere really. I tend to just take a step back and I'm like, okay, I am this way. And if I take a step back and think and ask myself, am I happy with my life based off the way that I am and the way that things have gone? The answer is objectively yes. And I know that those aspects of my personality, including the fact that I like chasing progress, is something that's contributed to the happiness that I've been able to achieve today, right? So it's like, I think it's silly for me to be like, no, it's bad and I should be like, enough should be enough, because then I wouldn't have gotten to where I am today, right? And like, my dream would be to get my business to a place where I can take a step back and it really be relatively like passive. Now I feel like that's the false dream that we're all chasing, because I feel like the closer, quote unquote, I get to that goal, the more I actually work. It's like, dude, it's like I need to
Funny.
work more and more and more to eventually work less. It doesn't seem like we're getting any closer to that, but I don't know. I went in a different direction there with that question.
No, that makes sense. I think that's reasonable. I think whether or not to get too meta, but I think whether or not to question it is something to question. I'm like, hey, is that a good, is that a fruitful route to go down to question whether or not that perspective
Jordan,
is serving
I'm
you?
this way with like everything, because I people like to just ask questions of like, why are we here? And what's the purpose of this? And I think those conversations can be fun just for the sake of having them. But I've never been too much into like those sorts of things, because I'm just like, it doesn't matter what we say here. It doesn't matter like the conclusion we come to. It doesn't affect me in any way. Whether, we have a reason for being here on Earth or not, or whatever it is, like, it doesn't change what I do day to day. When it comes to, self-assessing personal behaviors or like characteristics, unless I think something is like really negatively affecting me, right? Like if I wasn't happy in life and I was depressed and I thought it was caused by a particular behavior, maybe I would be a little bit more critical or self-observant. But I think in general, like, I think it's also easy to critique yourself a little too much, Jordan, and then it like leads you in a way where like it doesn't make you happy, right? Let's say you like are like, yeah, man, I shouldn't chase progress because progress is, a never-ending cycle. You're never happy. I should be happy with where I'm at right now, and I'm gonna try to be just really happy with where I am right now and not chase progress. Like that itself might make you miserable, right? Like it's like maybe progress is the thing that makes you happy in life, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm also not a big fan of people telling other people that you should or shouldn't be a certain way, because I think the way we should be is just based off like how we are genetically, you know?
Totally. I think somewhere deep down, and not on the surface for me, it's not something I think about almost ever, but if you press me on it, like my dad will press me on this, somewhere deep down, I feel like between weight loss drugs, AI, and an incoming exercise memetic that doesn't exist yet, I do think that in our lifetime, your and my lifetime, like we will not be able to continue doing what we're doing in the way we're doing it for forever. And so there's like some we maybe it's a cope where I'm like, hey, like the co my cope is, hey, dude, somewhere in the next 30 years, you're going to be useless. So get in and make money and push yourself hard because you're retiring involuntarily. You will be retired. And so I like don't know exactly how I think. Well, first of all, I would bet 100% that that is, of course, eventually true. But at in our lifetime slash in our in my like productive working years, the level of certainty waxes and wanes. I'm not exactly sure, but weight loss drugs are the thing that scared me initially. Not scared me, by the way. Hold on, pump the brakes, pump the brakes. I'm not scared about GLP-1s putting me out of business. Now I'm scared. I'm a pro GLP-1. I love help. A lot of my clients are taking GLP-1s. I love helping people on GLP-1s. But the first thought that came into my head was, people are familiar with like semaglutide and tirzepatide, and there are more drugs coming out in the next 5, 10 years. And one of those drugs is retatrutide or retatrutide, whatever, however people are going to end up saying this. And one of the things that struck me in some of the preliminary papers is that the people that they gave retatrutide to, the group, they didn't even bother giving them any nutrition or exercise recommendations. And in the trials for Wegovy and the trials for Zepbound for weight loss, they were given alongside like nutrition and exercise recommendations. And then retatrutide is so strong that they didn't even bother. They're like, it doesn't fucking matter. They're like, we don't need to tell. We don't need to tell you to eat less. We don't need to tell. It's just that powerful. And so that the first time I like read basically the researchers being like, hey, we just didn't because of the money and the time it would take to do that. We thought, screw it, this drug's so freaking powerful, like we're not even gonna bother. And that first struck me. I was like, oh, like we're just getting started with these drugs. And in the next, again, that retatrutide probably won't be available via like legit channels for several years, or a couple to several years, I'd say. But again, this doesn't mean there's not. I mean, that we are in the rat race for better and better and better drugs with different combinations of peptides and other factors. And so I'm not like sitting here worried about that. In like, it's not something that's on the top of my mind at all. I think that there will be a need for human assistance for a long, long time. But I just in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, is that 20 years? Is that 15 years? Is it 30 years? And I'm like, well, maybe you don't rest on your laurels. Maybe you push yourself to be as helpful as possible and do as much as you can without burning out, without completely sacrificing work to work life, air quote work life balance. Do you harbor any of those feelings around AI? And whether you harbor them is different than your opinion on whether or not they will come on what timeline.
Yeah, I've thought about it. I've definitely thought about it, but I think I'll just pivot, and I don't know what that pivot would look like.
I agree with you though.
But
Your thought is like, well, I'll just continue to be useful in whatever way there is.
I think all technologies create solutions and create problems. I also think the last thing that will be replaced is human connection. Because that's literally the only thing that makes us human, right? Like the doing of stuff can be replaced, but like I also don't think that's, at least with our service, which is more like personalized coaching, dude, I have so many clients. We have so many clients that like don't need to lose weight, and they have all the habits in place, and they just keep working with us because they like having a coach and they like having structure and they like having guidance. So I think so much of it is also just beyond just the objective recommendations, right? But I think I'll just pivot, man. The thing is, it's hard to know exactly what will be replaced and what won't re be replaced and to what extent. But I know that, like, the health and fitness industry is not going to disappear. And I know I'm passionate about health and fitness, so I'll probably just pivot towards whatever I enjoy at the moment and seems most useful for people, right? It's a scary thing to think about because you put a lot of time and effort into building something, but I think it's, the actual thing that you build isn't even like the valuable asset, in my opinion. It's really like the relationships and the people that, and the audience that you build as a byproduct of that, right? Because, like, man, since I started building my audience, I started doing the online coaching thing. I've personally worked with hundreds of clients. The coaches on our team have worked with hundreds of clients. If we lose the actual coaching business, well, I think we still have the most important asset, which is our audience and the goodwill that I've built with them and trust. Like, I feel strongly that if I had to pivot today, and let's say I was a shill and started a supplement company, I feel like it would have a certain degree of success because I've built like a good reputation with the people that follow me, So I don't know. I'll just adapt.
I told my wife yesterday, I said that I think that the last, if you had to bet, what is the last job title that I hold before I retire? Like, what's the last version of what I do before I call it? If I had to bet today and you only gave me like a minute to think about it, I would answer personal training in person. Like, I would see that it would come full circle where like the last thing you can't replace is like me physically being with you to show you how to lift weights and do it safely and effectively. And I was like, it would be hysterical for it to come full circle where like everything comes online and then it goes back into in person because that's like that last thing that is me literally physically being with you while I'm training until there is a like very lifelike human AI robot that can do that as well. But maybe that's, maybe that's like one more. I don't know. Maybe that's around the corner. The fuck knows.
No, dude, I don't know.
The
I
style in your voice. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah.
feel like technology is just so people exaggerate a lot. That's my perspective, at least. Like, dude, yes, AI is crazy technology. But we've felt this way about like every new emerging technology. Like the internet was supposed to be like the end of, people are not going to think anymore after the internet because, well, you could just Google stuff. Like it's kind of just like ridiculous to try to extrapolate what's going to happen in the future when we literally have no idea. And I really don't think, at least personally, I really don't think that like human interaction and innovation will be replaced. And if it is, like nothing else matters because everything will be replaced anyways. So it's what's the big deal anyways? And maybe we're at some place technologically where like nobody even has to work because AI is so productive that like we can kind of all chill and do whatever we want. And then it's like, what's the meaning of life? Well, who cares?
Carries you a fucking robot. All right, let's do it. Let's do a little pivot. And I sent you some notes prior to coming on here, and we are going to cover none of those things. Instead, I'm going to hit you with a couple of like semi rapid fire. I want it to be like, let's say, rapid fire plus one in terms of how thought out these answers are. The first one is some things you've changed your mind on in the last 10 years, not necessarily 180, could be just like evolutions of stuff that really, like, as of the way you coach and think and deliver fitness advice and content that you've changed your mind on maybe over the last 10 years. I know that's a long time, but what's a big one that jumps out to you?
Okay, well, if we talk about like objective nutrition or exercise science, the nutrient timing stuff, specifically around working out, like this, I was young, man. I remember going to the gym and like bringing and like having to have very simply digesting carbohydrates immediately after training to shuttle all the protein and, like all the stuff that you see online. But I used to bring like a couple scoops of protein powder and Gatorade powder in my shaker. And as soon as I finished my last set, like, don't even talk to me. I'm gonna go fill it up with water, chug it right away. Because the sooner I drink it, the faster I'm building muscle. I used to believe that pretty long time ago. When it comes to training, don't know, man. Because I've gone full circle on stuff a lot too. Like sometimes you think things are bad, and then you realize like it's not that big of a deal, right? But the biggest one is just moving away from bro splits, training everything once a week type of thing. Not chasing just the pump or anything like that, but really having a more structured approach to training. I've also realized like whether I train 5 or 6 days a week or just 3 days a week, like my rate of progress is the same, truly. Even though I train with substantially lower volume, I really do like 9 sets per working muscle, per muscle per week at most. Now, aside from that, from a coaching perspective, this is a big one. I used to think when I first started, I was like, oh, I have a PhD. I'm really smart. I'm going to tell people what to do and they're going to do it. And then I realized that, working with people is so much more about like the personal relationship and learning about their life and helping them make small tweaks. And it's not just about information. Like most people actually know the information. It's they have a hard time applying it consistently. So I would say those are some of the biggest ones.
Yeah, I like that last one. I think that what certainly in the beginning I was all hyped up about what I knew, and I was like, hey, like I'll just give people the parameters and the goal and the targets and the aims, and that'll be it. And now like I'm in a bit of a nihilistic, you could see it as a depressing thing. I don't, but like I often believe like my biggest use is just to be someone's vehicle, that like somebody will arrive to me in a state of readiness to change. And it's just my job to like, they hop in my vehicle and it could have been somebody else's vehicle. It's my vehicle because maybe they like the color or the shape or the way, the way I speak and we get along. But ultimately it's somebody's ready to change and you are the vehicle for them to do what they were ready to do. And yeah, you have the knowledge and stuff, but maybe it's the way you talk and the develop your ability to develop a relationship. And for some people, they don't have, I wrote in my one of my checking questions this past week for my clients, and it was like, it's like, who's somebody in your life that you look up to that motivates you from a health and fitness perspective? And then maybe somebody who you think looks up to you from a health and fitness perspective. And some people have no answers to those questions. And they're just like, hey, I just don't have people in my life, in my inner circle that I connect with on this topic, either upwards or downwards. And a lot of people are like, you are that person. They're like, you're the person. And I'm like, yeah, it's an interesting reminder of like, yeah, sometimes coaches just, are you hire a coach because you want someone who normalizes what you think is important, what you want to do, who shares in your passion for a certain goal. And a lot of times I'm like, yeah, that's probably the most important thing is to be in their corner, to be that person in their inner circle who normalizes, who affirms, who supports. And so yeah, not that we don't know things and that you don't need to know things, you need to know things as a coach, but I often feel like, coaches will hold themselves back because they think they don't know enough. When in reality, like some of the best, like most people who become coaches, like know enough to help people get healthy about the facts and the figures. It's about leaning into the like building some sort of relationship and acknowledging that that's 50% of your job.
I would say it's more than 50%, dude. I
Yeah.
would say it's like the biggest part of it. It's like, because some people, man, it's like not even just about the outcome, right? Of like losing 20 pounds or whatever it is. It's really about feeling good in their body. And if we're talking about improving health-related markers and stuff like that, like, yeah, objectively, they'll have to lose some weight, build some muscle, develop healthier habits. But if you talk to the vast majority of people, like, what do they want? They objectively want to feel better, feel more confident, right? And I think so much of that has to do with just like the way we view ourselves. And I think to be able to like improve that with a coach, it just like you have to have a personal relationship with that person and feel comfortable talking about things and like value their advice. And I just realized that like coaching is literally m way more about that than like telling people what the appropriate caloric intake is and like how to get a little more protein in, you know?
Great. Let's move to the next one here. What is something that doesn't have, listen, we hold a pretty high standard for being, let's say, evidence-based, air quote, what's something that you do that maybe doesn't have as much evidence behind it as maybe a bit, I don't want a fringe, like you sun your butthole or something like that, but like, something that you think, okay, there's not so much evidence around this, but this is something I still do because maybe there's a chance, or it makes me feel better, or something that we might actually almost look at somebody who's suggesting that they do this and be like, hey, there's no evidence on that, but it's something that maybe we do anyway. I'll give you an example if you
Yeah,
need.
that's a
Go
good
ahead.
question. What's your example?
My example is I wear blue light blockers at night, right? And so, like, if you look at blue light blocking studies, it's not like radically improving people's sleep latency or sleep duration or REM sleep or deep sleep. But I for my own life, absolutely swear by. I say absolutely swear by, like I swear by it in the sense that
You
like
like it.
I every night and I travel with them and they are a meaningful part of how I think I wind down at night. If I have a client who's like really struggling to sleep, they are something that I will talk about. It's not like and I will talk about it appropriately in the hierarchy of evidence as a thing that we're not sure really does anything. And I'll even like shit on some people who wear them on social media, but I'll shit on them for wearing it on social media because wearing them during the day, you're an idiot. You're an idiot if you're wearing blue light blocking glasses during the time where getting blue light in your eye is a good idea. You are categorically an idiot. But the idea of wearing a blue light blocker like at night, because maybe it decreases the stimulation. I mean, my bottom floor has like Philips lights that are connected to Bluetooth. And do I turn them down to like an amber color at night? I do. It's to me, I find it less stimulating and part of the thing that gets me ready to wind down and transition to nighttime. Again, none of that stuff has double blind art, long-term RCTs that it's super meaningful, but the thing I would say, I do that anyway.
I would say, man, like, and I've always said this, I never, ever, ever have an issue with people sharing what they do online. I have an issue when they try to like justify it with science and say like it's superior because of blank, right? I used to really like and I don't dislike him by any means. I just don't follow his stuff as much
Who?
anymore, but
Who?
Mark Bell.
Ah, Mark Bell. Yeah. Okay. Good
So I
intro on
like Mark
that.
Bell. Yeah, because when he was like, started doing carnivore and stuff, he was like, "Guys, I just eat this way and I feel good. Like, I know there's not much science behind it. Just try it out." And I'm like, I have no issue with that sort of messaging, man. Because everybody, like, we're not fucking robots and everybody's not going to live the exact same way. I've always had an issue when people are like, "Oh, this diet is the best diet because science shows, blah, blah, blah." And they pull some random studies out of their ass that don't actually show what they're saying. It's like, that's just the messaging behind it's what I don't like. In terms of personally, like, I wouldn't say I do much because I think there's a benefit. I do a lot of things that are quote unquote definitely not optimal or healthiest by any means. For example, I just made a video today. I eat beef every day. Like, I eat red meat every single day. Do I objectively think it's that bad? I really don't. I think, and we probably are on the same page here, that based off the evidence that we have, there are so many confounding variables, right? Lifestyle related factors, how fatty the meat is, how processed it is. Are you having veggies? So, like, I have veggies, I have very lean ground beef, and I don't char the fuck out of it. And I eat it with veggies and like I have a well-balanced diet and I actually so like there's so much to it, but so many people will be like, "Oh, you eat beef every day." So like that's one thing I do because I like it. Similar to you, like I don't do this every night, but I like having like something warm before bed. I know it doesn't really do much, but for me it just helps me feel relaxed. Right. Even like with what you're saying about the blue light blockers, Jordan, like you mentioned, there's not much science on blue light blockers specifically, but there is really good evidence showing that routine is important to wind down, right? So if it's part of your routine, then you can objectively say that it's definitely helping you, fall asleep. It's just little things like that. When it comes to training, actually, I guess there is science on this, but like specific songs to hit PRs. Like, you're gonna laugh. I love listening to like Mariah Carey and stuff when I lift. So like some very specific songs, I'll put them on. Like if I want to hit a PR, that's a thing. Particular outfits to go to the gym because I like the way the clothes fit. So like it's nothing too big, but those are the little ones that come to mind.
Yeah, for sure. And then my next question was things that you do or things that you don't do that you know are important, or the red meat is a good example. You're like, well, first of all, I think it's super nuanced. I think if you pushed me to have if you gave me all that context about how you're incorporating that in your life and you gave me a yes or no button of like, hey, is this like detrimental to your health? I'd click no. I think it wouldn't be detrimental to your health to have lean red meat alongside plenty of fruits and vegetables, don't char it, have a balanced diet, exercise, blah, 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 blah. I think it's gonna be fine. But that was a good answer to that. Anything else that comes to mind? I will say I don't eat enough, let's say, green leafy vegetables. You had to pick a category of food. I eat a ton of fruit and a ton of fiber. I have like 70, 80 grams of 60 to 80 grams of fiber every day. No problem, no questions asked. But I probably don't like have a large bolus of leafy greens at each meal or even like every day. I eat a lot of beans, I eat a lot of fruit, I eat a lot of berries, a lot of berries, a lot of kiwis, a lot of different fruits, trying to broaden my horizon. I think it was a thing that I realized a couple of years ago or several years ago. I was like, if you left me to my own devices, even knowing what I know, I would eat a little bit less vegetables. I like vegetables, no problem. It could be just like how long it takes to prep to how long it might take to make them taste good to my natural tendencies. But I was like, you know what I do like? I like a lot of fruit. I like whole grains. I like legumes. I'm going to get my fiber that way, and I'm going to get a ton of diverse micronutrients. Now, it's not the same. There's not all the same phytochemicals and phytonutrients in fruits and vegetables and et cetera, but I'm going to get a ton of variety. I'm going to get a ton of fiber. And yes, I eat vegetables, but if you were like, If you looked at my recommendations, it would be slightly higher than probably what I do myself, let's just say.
Yeah, I would say the exact same for me. I tend to like not hyperfixate it, and I just focus on eating whole foods, man. Because here's the thing, if you eat more green leafy veggies, Jordan, you got to cut out some of the other stuff from your diet, right? And then you're not going to get the benefits from the consumption of the other stuff.
Yeah,
I
something
think
that's
if
helped
we're,
actually is like a lot of mixes. And so like I think I just like
yeah.
I think I'm I think I've have in this next part of my life, I feel like just want to make sure that I'm I get I don't want to over egg what I'm about to say when I talk about dive like food intake diversity, but I certainly came from the camp of like chicken broccoli rice, and it's like not identifying that variety is important. And I want to swing that pendulum a little bit without going too far of like, hey, fiber is important, protein is important, the healthy fats are important, but foods are more than the macros and micros. I mean, they are, well, maybe not more than the macros and micros per se. I mean, they are, but they're definitely more than the macros. And I think I just want to make sure that I'm like, yeah, okay, you're also not just picking three or four foods that you really like. And so like Costco just kills it. They have like a
Yeah.
million, it's like veggie mixes, fruit mixes, and I'm
Yeah,
like, I'm
that's
gonna
what
try
we
and
do
lean.
too.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and lean a bit into those where I can get a bit of a variety in my life.
Yeah, but we could also like the reason why I say I don't hyperfixate on it too much is because if we like you mentioned earlier, hierarchy of importance, I think just eating whole foods is definitely the most important, right? And then if we look at certain cultures, Jordan, like and I hate when people just talk about our ancestors because of how poorly it's been talked about on social media. But like, let's really think about that for a second. If we even think 100 years back, people didn't really have a ton of access to food from like different places. So culturally, you just ate what was available to you, right? And like, obviously, it's a combination of plants and animals. And yes, we want to eat vegetables and all of this. But like, for example, my family's from Cuba. People don't know what a strawberry is in Cuba. It just doesn't grow there. So then to say that you have to eat a certain amount of berries for optimal health, it's like, dude, berries don't even grow where my family's from, right? And now, obviously, that doesn't mean they're in optimal health by any means. But like, variety is important. But I think more about variety of food groups rather than of specific foods too. Like, hey, just make sure you're getting fruits every day. Make sure you're getting veggies every day. Make sure you're getting some starchy veggies every day. Get your fiber. Get your protein. Beyond that, I think it's the same as like, dude, put your elbow a little bit more over your head so you get a little bit of a deeper stretch on your tricep. It's
Yeah.
like, objectively, are we going to see a difference? Like, probably
Totally.
not.
Totally. Totally. Agreed on that for sure. Hierarchy importance, like getting a variety of food, is probably like a very much post doing the 99% of the other stuff. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. For sure. For sure. For
Yeah,
sure.
like getting 3 to 5 servings of fruits and veggies, way more important than getting a variety of different veggies,
Totally.
you know?
Yes. Agreed. Agreed. And let's be real, the average fiber, average protein intake, it's just like with exercise. It's like, the do enough stuff over time and get enough stuff in of the good stuff over time is way more important than when you're getting it in and the type of thing you're getting it in and the variety of stuff you're getting it in. So for sure. For sure. For sure. Okay, yeah, that's anything we missed, any of those questions that I feel like we popped up again. Oh, last one is I gotta go on the hour here, but maybe something that you're feeling particularly passionate about these days. Maybe something that's like on top of mind. Maybe it's content, maybe it's something that you feel like you're talking a lot with clients about, something that's for you in your mind and your heart, kind of hot right now.
You telling me you only have a couple minutes left, dude?
I'm
I
sorry,
don't
dude.
buy it. I don't
I'm
buy it. I
sorry.
thought we were gonna keep going,
I
man.
know. I'm sorry.
All right. What's been top of mind? Really two things, man. Being a dad, I really enjoy it. Like I love being a dad. Like being with the kids is my favorite thing by far. Like when I'm hanging out with my son, I'm like, damn, I really wish I could do this all day. That's not something I think about actively of like how to be a better dad, because like I think I'm a good dad and I try to be involved as much as I can, but like that's something I really want to do more of. I actually want to make more content around that, maybe like podcast a little bit about it. And part of it is like also imposter syndrome. I'm like, I've been a dad for like 3 years. What do I know?
Yeah.
And then beyond that, business. I really, really enjoy learning about business too. I've honestly like haven't really been reading much science when it comes to health and fitness, because we have new science coming out every day, but it's not like groundbreaking discoveries when it comes to nutrition and training. We kind of know the basics, right? And just really been enjoying learning about business and marketing and sales and building teams and leadership and all that stuff. It just feels like being a complete beginner at something. And I like the feeling of being a beginner at something. So I'd say those are the two main things.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I go in my connection with like how much research I'm reading and how many research reviews. It ebbs and flows where I'm like really, really into my business and I have less time for every research review. And then other times where I'll like have 10 million tabs open and every night I'm gonna like, hey, I'm gonna commit to 45 minutes of reading through this stuff. And it ebbs and flows. I don't wanna say that I know everything I want to know that there is to know, let's say, and I'm like completely done with needing to learn new information. But my how much what I just said would be bold and underlined changes. Sometimes I'm like, all right, I don't need to fucking know about like exactly the different, whatever, like how many times you'd have to heat and cool certain oils before things start to oxidize. I'm like, all right, I don't need that right now. Like I'm good for now,
It's more of
Joe.
like nerding out for the sake of nerding out than anything else.
For sure, for sure. Joe, I hate getting off. I listen, I love chatting with you and I appreciate you coming on and I was hoping we could do a little bit more time. This is a crazy week for me. Let's call it here.
Let's do part two as soon as you want to do it.
Cool. And do the thing where you tell people where they can find you. And we'll get you out of here.
Yeah, cool. At Dr. Joey Munoz, pretty much everywhere. Even the podcast is The Dr. Joey Munoz Show.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you coming on.
Appreciate you, dude.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.